بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we all know of course of the five prescribed obligatory prayers, and within each we have the fard prayers, we have the sunnah prayers, and within that we'll have categories of sunnatul mu'akkada and ghayr mu'akkada, those that are emphasized and those that were not emphasized, meaning that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized offering them, and non-emphasized being those he missed them occasionally, and didn't really emphasize offering them, even though he did so on a somewhat of a regular basis. And then we have the nafil prayers, the optional prayers that the Prophet ﷺ would perform from time to time. Then there are other prayers that we don't discuss as often, or we don't hear about that much. So some are for specific times. So for example, the prayer of the solar eclipse, or the prayer of the lunar eclipse, or the prayer of need, or of safety or danger, salat al-khawf, of fear. And then we have others that are not specific in their... I should have switched it around. So there are those who are not specific in their timing, but are prayed for certain reasons, like the ones I mentioned. And then there are others that are specific in their timings. So for example, the one we'll be discussing today, inshallah, are the Ishraq and the Duha prayers. Now the first question that comes to mind, the main confusion that lies around whether these are two different prayers or if this is the same prayer. According to the majority of fuqaha, the majority of jurists and scholars, it is the same prayer. So the Ishraq prayer and the Duha prayer, according to the majority of scholars, is the same prayer, except Ishraq is the Duha prayer, which is offered just after sunrise. So Ishraq and Duha prayers, according to the majority, is essentially the same nafil prayer, except Ishraq is the name of the prayer of the same Duha prayer if it is offered right after sunrise. And if it is offered later on, it is still considered Duha prayer, but it's not termed specifically as Ishraq prayer. The term Ishraq comes from Shuruq, which is sunrise. Right, so that's why when the prayer is offered just after sunrise, it is called the Ishraq prayer. It is mentioned by some Shafi'i scholars, and in their books, and they mention it specifically, refer to it as Salatul Ishraq. But apart from that, in the other madhahib, the term Ishraq doesn't really come up in their books, in the classical original books of fiqh. Some scholars have taken them to be two separate prayers. So Ishraq being one prayer, the one offered after sunrise, Duha prayer, the one offered later in the morning before high noon. And this is the commonly held view in certain areas. So for example, I'm not sure about other areas, but in the Indian subcontinent, it is commonly known as two different prayers. The reason for these prayers to be considered two separate prayers is based on the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Sunan Tirmidhi, it is reported by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man salla al-ghadat fi jama'atin thumma قعد يذكر الله حتى تطلع الشمس ثم صلى ركعتين كانت له كأجر حجة وعمرة. That Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever offers his morning prayer in congregation, the Fajr prayer, then remains seated, making dhikr of Allah until the sun rises, and thereafter, after the sun has risen, offers two rak'ats, they will receive the reward of performing a hajj and Umrah. So this is one hadith in Shama'il Tirmidhi, which is a collection of a hadith that describe the character and the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, basically a portrait of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu says, in the morning when the sun rises to the height of the same height as it is at the time of Asr, so after sunrise, when the sun rises to the same height as it is after Asr time, at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 2 rak'ahs of nafl prayer, meaning Sunatul Ishraq. When the sun rose in the east to the height where it is in the west at the time of Zuhr Salah, so basically when it is just about to reach Zuhr Salah, he performed 4 rak'ah. So based on these ahadith and some others as well, the scholars who say that these are 2 separate prayers, that's what they use as their evidence. There has been some discussion regarding the authenticity of these ahadith, and especially the phrase "thumma salla rak'atayn" in the first hadith, where it said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who stays in the masjid after offering Fajr Salah in congregation until sunrise and then offers 2 rak'ah, that part, some say that there's some discussion regarding that. Now the Duha prayer itself is well established, and there are numerous ahadith that talk about its virtues. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, "Awsani Khalili," he's referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "My friend sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered me bithalathin, ordered me to do 3 things." صيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر, so to fast 3 days every month. وركعتي الضحى وأن أوتر قبل أن أرقد, that I offer, so 3 days of fasting every month, 2 rak'ah of duha prayer, and to do the witr before sleeping. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari as well as Muslim, متفقنا عليه. So there are a number of hadith. In another hadith, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sadaqah is owed by every joint that you have. So sadaqah is owed by every joint in your body. So every glorification is sadaqah. فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ, so every glorification, when you say subhanallah, is a form of sadaqah. Every praise is sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ, so all of the different praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a form of charity, of sadaqah. وَأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ, so commanding the right, so encouraging people to do what is right is a form of sadaqah. Forbidding the wrong is a form of sadaqah. And then in the end, وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكَعَتَانْ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى, that praying 2 rak'ah in the afternoon, in the forenoon, which is called the time, duha time, covers all of these. So the virtue of offering this nafil prayer is that it actually is a form of giving sadaqah for every single joint of the body. And that is reported by Imam Muslim. So to summarize, basically, the duha prayer is well established. There is a difference of opinion whether these are 2 separate prayers, Ishraq and duha, or whether duha is, or whether they're the same. What is well established, though, is the duha prayer itself. Now, the timing for the duha prayer is from when the sun has risen a bit. So the term that comes in the books, and I believe in a hadith as well, is that when the sun has risen to a spear's length. So if somebody would raise a spear, right, the sun from the ground, the sun would be, it's not concise, obviously, but it's just to give an indication that it has risen a bit. So it's not right, just meeting the ground, but it has gone up a bit. And it could be, about 10 to 20 minutes after sunrise. So the time would begin then, and then we'll go up to the point where the sun reaches its zenith, when it reaches the point when it is forbidden to offer salah, which is at high noon. So that doesn't mean 12 o'clock, right? That means the middle of the day, not 12 o'clock, because we know that 12 o'clock is not 12 p.m. Noon is not actually necessarily the time when the sun reaches its height, right? So that is the timing for that. the preferred time to offer it is when the sun is at its highest before the forbidden time comes in. Right. So before the forbidden time, if a person offers it, that is the best. But of course, it could be offered at any other time, any other valid time. Now, in terms of rak'at, how many units of prayer? So the bare minimum is 2 rak'at, and we see that from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also reported to have offered 4 rak'at, and according to some, that is probably the optimal minimum to offer. So the bare minimum being 2 rak'at, the optimal minimum being 4. Now the maximum, there's a difference of opinion upon. So the Maliki and the Hanbali schools say that the maximum is 8 rak'at because of what is proven from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Hanafi and the Shafi'i schools say 12 rak'at, and they too cite the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And others say that it could be more than that because it is a nafil prayer, because it is an optional prayer. But even when we are offering the nafil prayers, it is of course good to try to do it the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would offer the prayer. Now, one question that comes to mind sometimes is, you know, why are these nafil prayers important? You know, so we already have the faraid, right? Then we have the sunan, the prayers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would regularly offer, extra prayers, and then we have these optional prayers. And one of the things that the scholars say, one of the analogies that they give, is the fard actions, right? The obligatory actions are like the core, right? It's the core that you want to protect. It's the core that needs to be protected. So all of these extra optional actions are layers on top of that core that cover it up. So if a person becomes neglectful, if his person, you know, everyone goes through ups and downs and we get busy, and sometimes our iman is very high, sometimes it feels it's hit rock bottom, so it fluctuates. The strength of the iman fluctuates. So these are layers which protect the core. So if a person is feeling down and they start skipping, right, or start lowering their acts of worship, then the first ones to go will most likely be the optional ones. Right, so you have that layer of protection. And then, God forbid, if it gets even lower, then it will be the sunnah prayers that would go. As opposed to if a person didn't have the protective covering, right, those layers of protection over the core, then that would be at risk of being lost immediately, if there ever came a time when one's faith suffered a bit, or for some reason one was not able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the same intensity as previously. So that's why it is, that's one of the reasons why it is a good idea to try to adopt these practices, especially because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would offer them. Now the question might also come, you know, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered it, then why is it nafil and why is it not a sunnah? Right? Why is it enough and why is it not a sunnah? So the actions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly offered and almost never ever ever missed are sunnatul muakkada, right? The emphasized sunnahs. Then the actions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would miss sometimes and would offer sometimes and has encouraged. Okay, so for sunnatul mu'akkada, they have been emphasized by the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has also recommended how important they are and has advised people to offer those salah. So those are the mu'akkada. And there are others that he has done and may have advised people to offer, but they're not at the same level of intensity. And then the nafil prayers are those that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would offer sometimes and would not offer at other times. And regarding the duha prayer, there's one hadith where, I forgot the name of the sahabi, radiallahu anhu, but he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would offer the duha prayer for an extended period of time, for a number of days, where we would think that he's always going to continue offering it. And then he would stop offering it, until you think, okay, he's not going to offer it anymore. Right? And then he would start again. So the Prophet ﷺ would do it on and off, which is why it's nafil prayer. The scholars have discussed whether it is something that should be done regularly or it should not be. One of the reasons it is said that the Prophet ﷺ would not continue to do actions regularly was because he did not want them to become obligatory upon people, because then it would become a burden. Because of course, the chain of the process of revelation was still going on at that time. However, after his passing, now you know we can offer these prayers and do these actions without the risk of them becoming obligatory. Of course, the people who say that it should be done regularly also say that the best of actions, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are those that are small but are consistent. Right, so actions that are small but are consistent. So even if it's just 2 rak'ah of salah, but if it's consistent, then that makes it one of the best actions. And because of that, if a person does it, then it's good to do it consistently, to do it regularly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Any questions? Okay. It's quite straightforward. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, next week we'll be looking at it's a very broad topic, so I'm going to have to break it down. But finance, we'll start off with riba. What exactly is riba? Is all interest riba? Is all riba interest? Credit cards, 0% financing, home financing, and the list goes on and on and on. It's a very, very broad topic, but we'll try to tackle it one piece at a time, inshallah.